Well, good morning. It's good to be here today. My wife, unfortunately, she was with me last time. She is in Savannah. I told the earlier crowd. We have four children. We have two sons and two daughters. And we have 10 grandchildren. And they go from 13 down to 6 weeks. And she had five of the grandchildren last night. And so she is tied up. Don't know if it's literally or not, but she has her hands full. Our son and daughter-in-law took off in a cruise, and they begged her to keep a couple of them, and then our son had three of them there, so she has her hands full, to say the least. And so I'll be headed to the airport and flying back to Jacksonville and driving home tonight and with some scissors and untire. And see if I can help a little bit for the next couple of days and with that. But she sends her love and appreciation to all of you. We thoroughly enjoyed our time here 3.5 years ago with your pastor and with Beverly. And then a couple people said, well, how did you end up getting picked to be here? Well, it's a very simple process. Your pastor took out his iPhone and went through his contacts. And he went through A, B, C, D, got to H, called me and said, hey, Herb, what you doing July 2nd? I said, well, nothing. He said, would you like to preach for me? I said, sure. And so I'm here. And so if I hadn't been here, it would have been I, J, K, L, M, N, until he finally found somebody. And so that's how I ended up here. None of the A's through to the G's could come. And so that's how you ended up with me being here. But no, I'm really glad to be here. I just want to say Reuben and Mandy have been wonderful, wonderful hosts. Is Mandy in here? Mandy, are you in here? Hello, Mandy. Mandy. She must not be such a good host. She never comes to hear me preach. And so either that or she didn't like me at all, really. But anyway, but they've been great hosts, and we've thoroughly enjoyed being around them. Very, very much. And let me say this to you also, from a pastor's heart. I pastored for 23 years, the home church I got saved in Savannah, Georgia, and just retired from there. I've gone to work at the YMCA, believe it or not, as a full-time chaplain, and been on their board, served as a chairman of their board. There's 2,700 YMCAs in the United States, only 64 chaplains. And the YMCA was started as a Christian organization, and I'm out there to influence the C part of the YMCA. On the last days, the Lord has given me, and I'm really pushing that C part out there with our Ys. And I'm still actively involved in our church. We voted in a new pastor on January 1 unanimously from Ohio, young man, 47 years of age. He has three children. And I'll be preaching on July 16th and July 23rd. He will officially be there on the ground, moved into his house, and my wife and I will be a part of that church and serving in that church with him, and I look forward to it. But anyway, you pray for your pastor. He's on vacation. And a lot of times you don't understand the significance of the weight that a pastor and his wife carries. And I was telling the earlier crowd, my daughter-in-law, Melissa, when we first met her years ago, she kind of impishly said, well, being a pastor is not that big a deal, when she first met me. And she said, all you have to do is smile and be nice to people. And God has a great sense of humor, because she is now married to my son, who is a pastor. And I remind her quite frequently, well, Melissa, how is it? She said, that smiling, being nice is not easy all the time. And so you pray for your pastor and for Beverly as they're traveling and they get some rest and they come back home refreshed. You have a marvelous pastor. And do not take him for granted, please. Do not take him for granted. And so I'm sure you're aware of that. The book of Psalms, chapter number 33. The book of Psalms, chapter number 33. The title of my message, very simply, and I hope you'll take some notes. I'll give you three key thoughts in just a little bit, is Happy Birthday, America. Tuesday, 241 years old. I just turned 65, and I thought I was old. And, you know, this getting old is not for wimps. How many are 65 and above? You understand. I walk like a duck when I get out of the bed. My wife says, straighten up. I said, I am straightened up. She says, you creak. I said, it's better than falling on the floor. And how many have ever, now this is embarrassing. I did this here a while back. I came out of my office when I was pastoring the church. And I came out of my office and I said to my secretary, Donna, I said, Donna, do me a favor. I said, do you have any idea where my glasses are? And she said, Pastor, they're on your face. And they were. Have you ever done that? I hate to admit how dumb I was. And I went and looked in the mirror just to see if she was right. And they were. This getting old is not easy. But America, 241 years of age on Tuesday. Now think about this. America, in comparison to Egypt, China, Japan, Rome, or Greece, is relatively young. But I want you to know this. God is and has been blessing America, as we just heard in a beautiful song, for all these years. But he will only continue to bless America if we do what is right. Did you know My Country, 'Tis of Thee was written by a Baptist minister by the name of Samuel Francis Smith? The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by a Baptist minister, Francis Bellamy. We Baptists are pretty good people. The words "In God We Trust" are traced to the efforts of Reverend W.R. Watkinson, Reverend John Witherspoon, a Presbyterian. You had to get a Presbyterian in there somewhere. Was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. We can celebrate Happy Birthday, America, because we broke free from British shackles. We survived a civil war that nearly cost us our national soul. I'm an avid reader, and I read constantly about the Civil War. I'm born in Norfolk, Virginia. I'm a Savannah, Georgia boy through and through, a Savannah High School grad, 1970. I tell people all the time that the South only lost the war because we ran out of bullets. You Northerners, get over it. I have a lot of Northerners in my church. Gave me a hard time. I had a New Yorker all the time give me fits. We fought and won against two foreign enemies on soil, not our own. We've stood against aggression in Korea and Vietnam. We've kicked some desert sand in the face of a two-bit dictator in the Middle East. Now we're still standing against bullies, specifically ISIS. Young, famous French political philosopher Alexis de Tocqueville visited our shores years ago to learn the secret which enabled a handful of people to defeat the British, mighty, mighty British Empire. He traveled the vast land from shore to shore, and he looked at the greatness of our rivers and our mountains and our fertile fields. He went into the churches, and he listened from the pastors behind the pulpits. Somebody asked me today, said, are you a hellfire damnation preacher? I just preached the truth. And when he returned to Europe, he wrote this warning. Now listen, this is what a French political philosopher wrote. In quotes, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Our flag still waves proudly in free air, a symbol of all that makes us great. But I'm here to tell you, there are some principles found in this psalm that we must follow if it is to continue to celebrate birthday after birthday after birthday. Now, I allow the Holy Spirit to direct me. I do things a little bit differently. But let me ask you a question. Is there somebody here that's in the military, serving the military? Is there anybody here that's still serving the military right now? Huh? Stand, no, don't be embarrassed. Are you in the military? You raised your hand. Come on up here. Come on, come on. I won't bite you. Come on. Seriously. Come on. Come on. We have two military bases in Savannah, Fort Hunter and Fort Stewart. We have a lot of military men and women in our church. Come on up here, please. I promise you, I will not bite. I won't give you any money, but I will not bite. What's your name?
Tyson?
Yes, sir. What rank are you?
I'm an E5 in the Navy.
In the Navy. Okay. My dad served in the Navy. Okay. World War II. Right. And I'm so glad to have you here. Okay. And now, how are you here? Are you stationed here?
I just got stationed here a few weeks ago, coming from San Diego.
Okay, great. Good. Man, went from nice weather to Hotville. All right, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to stand with me, if you would, okay? Everybody stand. We're going to read the Bible in just a minute. But, Tyson, I want you to do something for me. We have not done this yet today, okay? And I'm going to take liberty. If Brother Hunter doesn't ever have me come back, then that's okay. But would you mind doing us a favor? Would you lead us in the pledge to that flag? You know how to do that?
You're making me nervous. I'll try.
Okay, I'll help you, okay? But we haven't pledged to the flag yet today, have we? And I think we should. Do you mind doing that? I'll help you. Let's turn around. Okay, let's go, Tyson. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you, buddy. God bless you. Thank you for the service. Appreciate you. Now remain standing. Let's go to our Bibles. The book of Psalms, chapter 33. I have great respect for our military. Great respect. Psalms chapter 33. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to let you do that on your own. But I want to pick up in verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the what? I have that underlined and read in my Bible. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall I deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let the mercy, thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hope in thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in a very simple way, I want us to think about where we've come from and where we find ourselves today and what we must do to celebrate 242, 243, 244 years of God Bless America. And Lord, also, if there is one here today who does not know you personally as their Savior, may they realize that they will never truly celebrate personal freedom and liberty of their own soul from a place called hell without knowing you. Jesus Christ died on a cross for them. He loved them. He gave himself for them. And as a 16-year-old kid in a trailer in Savannah, Georgia, I knelt by my couch and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I have always been so thankful that you would do that for me. And I know that, Jesus, you'll do it for them today. Touch their hearts. Speak to them right now. Because they can have that freedom, that liberty from sin for all of eternity. Know they're going to heaven when they walk out these doors today. That's the greatest liberty they'll ever have. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty through Christ, the freedom through Christ. God, please have your will in this service. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Three quick thoughts. Stay with me now. Number one, principles to observe were to survive as a free people, blessed of God. Number one, a reverence for God. Verse number 18. A reverence for God. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. The word fear means to tremble. It's used in connection with three experiences. Tremble with the thought of being punished by a holy God for our sins. To tremble the sight of the mighty acts of God. To tremble the joy, the knowledge that people were being saved. To tremble, I think, is where we need to be at today. The thought of being punished by a holy God for our sins. Our nation desperately needs more respect, more reverence for God. Is that true? We have lost that. Our patriots, those who founded our country, had a great fear of God. Not in the sense that God was going to strike them down, but a fear in the sense that God was putting together something that was amazing. And they wanted to do it right, and they wanted God's hand upon it. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble wherewith. Someone said, our American culture, we have crossed the line from disrespect to outright blasphemy. We have people now that wear shirts with words on them that we would have never seen in public 10 years ago. We see stuff on Facebook and on TV and on computers we would have never seen 10 years ago. And on, we're going down a horrific path. And I said this earlier, I am concerned, deeply concerned about it for my kids and my grandkids. And what are we leaving behind for them? And so I think the responsibility, the onus is upon me to speak up and to speak out and to say what is right and what is wrong, to not be fearful, to demonstrate to my four kids and to my 10 grandkids what the fear of the Lord is all about. God's holiness is mocked. It's open season on the character of God. And by the way, let me say this. Even our churches are filled with a respect for God. I am glad. Now listen to me. I was an officer for a while in a group. And I traveled probably 20, 25 Sundays a year. And my church was very gracious to let me do that for a number of years. And Brother Todd knows what I'm talking about. But there were times I went into churches and I had a hard time even getting up to preach. Because I didn't know if I was in a circus or a church. I am glad to be in a church. Well, we have come to worship God. You better answer that. Maybe a collect call. Verse 18. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. You don't think God has blessed us for 241 years and he says, hey, it's no big deal? I've given you over and over and over and over and over. He expects that. Listen, I love my kids and I love my grandkids. You say, boy, you talk a lot about your kids and grandkids. Yeah, because I love them. Amen. Don't you love yours? Yeah. How many have grandkids? How many have the best grandkids in the whole wide world? Oh, take your hands down. No, you don't. I do. Come on. You know what grandkids are, don't you? God's gift for not killing your own. That's exactly what they are. My grandkids are great. I got a six-week-old little one named Brooklyn. She came premature. She's just a little thing. She's got a big mouth. She can scream like nobody's business. Blonde hair, blue-eyed. She's just as cute as I am. Like her mom. Did I say that? She's just as cute as she can be. But you know what? And I got a grandson. He's 13. He wears a size 14 shoe. He plays center for the football team. He's a horse. He eats like a horse. He's been with us the whole week, he and his brother and sister. The whole week he's been with us. Eats every 2 hours. I'm not kidding you. Every 2 hours the kid eats. It's a monster. Every once in a while he gets a little mouthy. He's like, I think I can take you, Pop-Pop. I said, you know what? You probably can, but I got a 357 and take you. Named Smith and Wesson. My son says, and he will introduce you to him. I'm having a little fun. But listen, folks, we've lost all kinds of fear in our world. I had a healthy fear of my parents. Did you have healthy fear of your parents? And my parents are both dead. I wish they were back so I could have a healthy fear of them. When I got saved, I got saved. When I got saved, I got the full 100%, 10% above dose of fear. I fear God. I don't want to play games with God. America, better wake up and quit playing games with God. Number two, verse 21. We need to have a dependence on God. Verse 21, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Go to 2 Kings with me. Let me show you what happens when we truly trust in God like we should and like we used to. You see, we become adept at trusting in our bank accounts and our 401ks, in our jobs and our houses, our cars, in our own wisdom, everything else that's out there. We find Hezekiah. And by the way, there's not a book in the Bible named Hezekiah. But we find Hezekiah here, and we need to remember his position and his prayer. And God's people are facing dire circumstances, and they're under siege here by King Sennacherib of Assyria, a dreaded enemy of Israel. And there's heavy pressure on the city of Jerusalem. Now get the story. Listen to me for just a second. Each day, just like Goliath would make fun of Saul and of all of the Israelites, one of Sennacherib's generals would stand outside the city walls yelling insults towards Hezekiah, making fun of Hezekiah's God and towards God's people, laughing at them. What's wrong with you? You've got such a great God. Why doesn't he do something? Why doesn't he strike me down? Why can't you handle this? And when King Hezekiah heard what was going on, he started to mourn and he tore his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth. He went into grieving and humility before God, and then he started to pray. And his prayer is found here in 2 Kings chapter number 19. And his prayer would be a good prayer for us to maintain for our country even now, thousands of years later. And Hezekiah, in verse 15 of chapter 19, prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow thou thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. There are people inside our country and outside our country making fun of our history and our Christendom. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods in the fire, for there were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of this hand, that all the kingdoms of earth may know that thou art the God, even thou only. Hezekiah sent for the prophet Isaiah, hoping for a word from the Lord. He did. If you're taking notes, and I won't read it, but Isaiah chapter 37, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 37, 6 and 7. And Isaiah had a response. And by the way, the angel of the Lord came in answer to that prayer and visited the camp, and 185,000 Assyrians were killed because of prayer. Because of prayer. Sennacherib was making fun of God's people. An individual stood up and said, no longer, we will get on our knees and we will bow ourselves and we will pray and we'll ask God to help our country. And God sent his angel at 185,000 people wiped out. Charles Spurgeon, great pastor, author, orator, said this, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. You know why this gentleman over here remembers a house of prayer? Because he understands the truth of that. We need people in God's house praying for this country. We can criticize, we can gripe, we can complain. There have been times I've wanted to throw a shoe through my TV until I remember how much my wife paid for it. And she loves HGTV. And I would be, after 45 years, hurt. We need people to pray. Ian Bounds wrote in a book, what the church needs today is not machinery or better new organizations or more novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Spirit can use, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through people of prayer. America has two formidable enemies today, one internal and the other external. Did you know I did some statistical study in my little office? Out of 206 countries, do you know that America rates as 42 in violent crimes? We think we're a pretty good country, don't we? 1.325 abortions still going on in America. We're opening the doors to every kind of junk that's out there. I could go on with list after list after list, and I won't do that, but I'm just telling you, We're headed down path after path after path after path. You know it. I know it. Would you say amen?
Amen.
You're aware of it. And we sit in our pews and we sit in our chair, lazy boys, and we sit in our couches. And I'm saying to you as a visiting pastor, we better wake up and we better get on our knees and we better start praying. Someone has said we keep asking God to bless America. He already has. Now it is our turn. Last, go back if you would to the book of Psalms, chapter 33, and I'll finish. Hope and his unfailing love. I'm glad that I have a God that I have hope in. I'm glad my hope is not in Washington, D.C. Okay? Now, I pray. I do. I have friends. I was telling them, I have friends on both sides of the parties. I try to keep open doors there. I've been to Atlanta, and I've prayed for the, as a chaplain for the Democrats and the Republicans. And I've told them, and when I go there as a chaplain, I pray because I said both of y'all need help. And I'm honest with them. And I pray in Jesus' name. They know when I go there, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. And fortunately, they've never stopped me because I wouldn't go. Okay? I'm meeting with our Congressman Buddy Carter in a couple weeks. Going to have breakfast with him. I'm probably going to Washington to pray as a chaplain up there. I don't go there so I can get some little pat on the back. I go because I want to express my opinion about a couple of things. I want to talk to people eyeball to eyeball about what I believe is going on and how it affects the church that's out there. I want to make sure we have freedom to preach from the pulpit and that our 501c3 is protected in the church. But I don't put my hope in those things. I put my hope in the same hope I had when I got on my knees as a 16-year-old mud-headed kid that had no idea what was going on out there in the world. But I knew I was headed for hell and I needed Jesus Christ. And I accepted Jesus Christ. And I have always trusted him since I was a 16-year-old kid. And so my hope is in Jesus Christ. And I get on that JetBlue plane to head to Jacksonville, Florida. My hope's not in JetBlue. My hope is in Jesus. I rode with Reuben yesterday. Trust me, my hope was not in his driving, I guarantee you. My theme song was Nearer My God to Thee. Just a closer walk. Amazing grace. You ever ridden with him? He did better with his wife in the car last night. I'm only serious. Verse 22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in what? Thee. The word hope means to cast one's cares on another. The Bible is a book of hope. We need to know it. I enjoyed being in Sunday school this morning. Thank you, my friend, for a good lesson in the book of Psalms. The book is a book of hope. We need to know it. We need to read it. We need to believe it. We need to live it. We need to tell people. We are a people of the Bible. A Bible-believing people. During the dark days, and I'm almost done. Can you tell I get a little excited about this? During the dark days of the American Revolution, true story, and I love history. When the Continental Army had experienced several setbacks, a farmer who lived near the battlefield approached Washington's camp unheard. And it said that suddenly his ears caught an earnest voice raised in agonizing prayer. On coming nearer, he saw it was a great general, General George Washington himself, who became our first president. Down on his knees in the snow, his cheeks wet with tears, he was asking, pleading God for assistance and guidance. And the farmer quietly slid away and returned home. And he said to his family, his wife and children, "It's going to be all right. We're going to win." "What makes you think so?" said his wife. "How can you be so sure?" "Well," said the farmer, "you see, I happened upon General Washington. I saw him on his knees, and I saw him praying in the woods today. And such fervent prayer I have never heard before. And God will surely hear and answer that kind of prayer." And the farmer was right. And dear church, God will hear and answer that kind of prayer again. But we have to get serious. For our sake, for our kids' sake, for our grandkids' sake, for our country's sake. Someone wrote, and I close, "Happy birthday, America. May your 450,000 churches wake up to offer hope and salvation to the lost." 450,000 churches, and yet not many of them offer salvation or hope. This church does. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've come to the right place. Today you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it's not because we're a Baptist church. It's because we're a church that knows who Jesus is. The Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't trust in your works. Don't trust in a baptism. I'd been baptized a couple of different times. I knew all 66 books of the Bible when I was 6 years of age. I was raised in a Christian church. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It was explained to me that all those works that I had were not going to get to heaven. And then when I realized that all that was of no value, but there was one who loved me and really, really loved me, and I was a product of divorce. Now, I really wasn't sure who really did love me. And all of a sudden, I realized that Jesus loved me. It wasn't a hard decision for me. And for 39 years, I've never questioned that. Or 49. Someone said, "Happy birthday, America. May your eagle, the symbol of power, strength, and independence, remember that even she is a creation of God. Happy birthday, America. May your citizens forsake their independent spirit enough to look to the God Almighty. Happy birthday, America. May the motto, 'In God we trust,' be found in your hearts, homes, and houses of worship." Years. You say, "We're invincible?" Greece thought they were. Rome thought they were. On and on and on. And on thought they were. We're not. But we better learn a lesson from General George Washington, who became our president. And we better learn how to get on our knees and pray. Would you stand with me, please?